with us. And I just ask that this service would be one that brings much honor and glory to you. I ask that you would be with Brother Claire and Brother Raymond as they share with us today from your word. Make this a special day for Brian and Londa as they accept this call upon their lives. And also a special day for the congregation at Shenandoah. Just ask that you would continue to allow your word to be proclaimed there in the town of Shenandoah. And we just thank you for the blessing that it has been over the years to be there and reaching out in that community. Continue to watch over and protect, guide and direct the families that have committed to the work there. We just ask that this stepping stone today would be one that would be very fruitful and that much good would come from it. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. God bless you and welcome to each one of you. I greet you in the name of Jesus. It is good to see you here today, and shows that you have an interest in the lives of Brian and Londa and also in the work at Shenandoah. Just a brief background. I didn't look at the exact year, but probably back shortly after the year 2000, maybe around 2002, we as a congregation at Myerstown started doing some street evangelism in Shenandoah, and practically every year we'd go up there once or twice a year and praying for the town and reaching out in Shenandoah. And in 2010, first family moved up. It was Dale and Connie Weaver, moved up, bought a home up there and moved into the community. And shortly after that, we purchased a building where we could hold worship services. And in 2012, had our first church service in Shenandoah, Sunday morning service. And in those years, we Thursday evenings is children's clubs, we call them. And it's amazing to see all the children that come out to children's clubs. And different times I get up there, and it's just, I always marvel at the, I ask myself the question, what keeps bringing all these children out to children's clubs? And the truth is they're yearning for and longing for love, somebody that will love them and give some attention to them. And it's just amazing to see that. In 2014, started a school, a Christian school, there in Shenandoah as well. So we have two buildings there. We have a school and also the church building now. And four families from Myerstown relocated up there. There's been a few converts from the town, and it's has been an exciting work. Shenandoah is about an hour north of here. It's an old coal mining town. And back in 1920, history tells us there was as many as 30,000 people living in Shenandoah. And now the population is down to around 5,000, maybe just a little under that. So there's a lot of cheap housing there. If anybody's wanting to move up and help with the church planned up there, there's lots of homes available. And it's not too far away from home, approximately an hour north of here. In June of last year, Dale was ordained minister. He had been serving as a deacon, was one of our deacons here at Myerstown, and moved up there to start the work. We had a minister ordination, and Dale was ordained as minister. And we started talking immediately about having a larger team than that, and we decided to move ahead with a minister ordination. And so we got approvals for that from the Keystone Bishop Committee and also the Marystown Reading District last September 2015, shared those plans with the congregation in January 18th of this year, 2016, and had the first qualification message on April 13th, which is a Wednesday evening. I had that. And then the second qualification message was by Conrad Brubaker on April 20th. And following that, we took nominations. We required that three nominations were needed for a brother to be considered. And there was one brother who had sufficient nominations, and that was Brian Good and his wife, Londa. And so here we are today at the ordination. We had the examination last Thursday evening, and Brian and Londa were both found to be, their doctrinal statements were reviewed, and they were both found to be faithful, doctrinally sound, and willing to serve. The order of the service today, Brother Claire Long, who serves as bishop in the Living Water District, is going to have our devotional, and then we're going to have another song standing, and that's by Brother Mike Weaver, who's a member here at Myerstown. Following that, Raymond Harnish is having the message of this afternoon, and he serves as bishop in the Marietta District. And after Raymond's message, Dale Weaver, pastor at Shenandoah, is going to come and share his testimony. So God bless each one of you as you take your part.
Well, greetings to each one, and a special greeting and welcome to Brian and Londa. Today is a day of new beginnings for you all. A day of new responsibilities, and it's a day that you will remember and reflect back on, a day that is special for you as God has chosen you. For devotional, I'd like to look at John chapter 15, and I'm going to go ahead and read verses 5 to 16, but the verse I'd like to focus on mostly is verse 16. John chapter 15. These are Jesus' words as he went to the garden to give his life for each of us, and I believe it was probably a literal thing where he saw a vine and he made this comparison with something as an object lesson that we could understand. And it certainly is important that we get the drift here, that we are to be connected to the vine. It is our strength. It is our source of life. In verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You know, if I would put a title on a devotional, which you normally don't do, but I would call it a fruitful minister. And certainly that is our desire for you as you begin a ministry that God has called you to, that your ministry would be fruitful and it would bear much fruit. Looking at verse 16 is kind of for this morning or this afternoon. I see three things in here. I see that God has chosen you, God has ordained you, and God does empower you for the task. So, chosen by Jesus, and I think that rings a special note in our hearts to think that we have been chosen by God, and not that we have chosen him. It says very clear, it says, "Ye have not chosen me." It wasn't our part, but it was God reached down and chose us, handpicked as it were, for a specific appointment, a specific assignment. And Brian, that is going to be a strength that you will carry with you. Never doubt that God called you to this work. Yes, he called through the voice of the church. You sit here, as I did years ago, without a lot, being the only one in the lot, as it were, the only one called by the congregation. But that call is real. That call is real to you as a call from God to do his work. And it will be your strength as you go along in the ministry and to realize, you know what, God called you to this and God equips you to this. God has chosen you. And as I look at, you know, people being chosen for different responsibilities, we often look at people and we evaluate them, and rightly so. Well, what about when Jesus called his disciples? And I want you to think about when he called his disciples, he called fishermen. He didn't go and call the scribes and the Pharisees to be disciples. He called fishermen. He called tax collectors. He called, as it were, the common people. But he looked beyond that to see what they could become as a work of God's grace. And certainly God chooses men who are open to his leading. And I was blessed to see that you are open to his leading. And God has chose you. He handpicked you for a specific assignment. Jesus is building his church and chooses men to fulfill his purpose and his will in the affairs of this world. Jesus told Ananias that Saul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. He handpicked him, as it were. So Jesus handpicked you today as well. God chooses men and women who are willing and willing-hearted to serve him. And those that stand humbly waiting at his bidding, God does resist the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. In 2 Chronicles, it says his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those that hearts are right towards him. God chooses men to simply be a vessel in his hand, an earthen vessel, according to 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." You are an earthen vessel. God has chosen you to demonstrate his power through you, and that is the beauty of it. The second thing I like us to think about is ordained by Jesus himself as a friend commissions a friend. He just got done saying there that, you know, I don't call you as servants. It's not as a servant word, but it's as a friend. You know how a friend is? You sit down, you talk about it, you have the same common agenda, direction, and your heart is in it. And that's how he has called you, to have your heart in it as Jesus' heart is in for the work. This appointment in verse 16 is that you should go. And when I look at the word go, it means energy. It means time. It means action to go and bring forth fruit. The condition of fruit bearing is in the first part of the chapter we read. There's many ifs in that part of the chapter, but it's how we bear fruit. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But God has ordained us or appointed us to be co-laborers together with him. Co-laborers is the idea of friends working together. This appointment is to persuade men that Jesus is the only source of life. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. There is no fruit bearing outside of Jesus Christ. So that is what you are commissioned to do, is to persuade men. And the fruit is obviously the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Two of them are listed here, the fruit of love in several verses here. That love of Christ, and again, it's the high calling. You also had that high calling when you were married. You were to love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Here this calling is, if you love me, even as I have loved my Father, I have kept my Father's love, kept his commandments. It is that even as, and that is a high calling of love. The fruit that we are to bear is love and joy. And in verse 11 says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." It might look like a heavy load, but there's a lot of joy in the load, and it's the joy of Christ that is not circumstantial joy. And there is a lot of joy. There's joy of seeing lives being led to Christ under your ministry. And there's no greater joy in that. And the angels in heaven will rejoice. You know, it's not something you do, but it's something you allow God to work through you and accomplish through you. And there is tremendous joy in the work of Christ. That your fruit would remain, again, is a key thing, that we have fruit that will remain, that is solid, that will not pass away, will not decay, will not rot. It is fruit that comes from the seed, the incorruptible seed. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." You have a tremendous message of life. You have a tremendous message of fruit that will remain, fruit that will last. And thirdly here in verse 16, empowered by the word, empowered by prayer through Jesus' name. The work that you ordained, you cannot be done in human strength. The key to the fruitfulness of your ministry is right here in verse 16. He says, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And you need to tap into that power, but there's two things that you need to understand, and that is you need to understand your weakness. In verse 5, it says, without me, you can do nothing. You know, we need to continually be reminded of that. Without him, you can do nothing. But you also need to understand the power of God. In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So we need to ask. We need to pray. Never forget the power of prayer in Jesus' name. And the disciples rejoiced in Luke 10:17 when they came back and they said, the 70 were sent out. They said, even the spirits are obedient in your name. Even the spirit, we have power over the spirits in the name of Jesus. And that is a tremendous power that we have. It's a power that we need to rely on. But Jesus said, well, even greater than that is rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So the great power we have as well is the saving of man's soul, the working of grace in the lives of your hearers. So the power in Jesus' name is to set men free from the bondage of sin and self. Pray for wisdom. Pray for direction. Pray for understanding. Pray for discernment. Pray for those things. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to speak a word that is what God wants you to speak, to be a mouthpiece in his hand. We do need the power of God in our lives. And most importantly, make sure that you are connected to the vine and bearing the fruit of righteousness. Let's pray. Our eternal Father in heaven, we just again bow before you with humble hearts. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the grace that is abundant to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for calling Brian and Londa here to serve in this capacity. Thank you for their willingness to allow your grace to do a mighty work in their lives, to bring forth fruit for your honor and glory. Thank you, too, for their homes that they came from, the parents that raised them in a godly way. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a God of grace and that you are desiring fruit. You come looking for fruit in our lives. And Lord, we are allowed to bear your fruit through your power. And I just thank you for your word that doesn't change, your word that is enduring, your word that will stand, and your word that is an anchor for our souls. So Lord, as I just pray that as we go through this service, that you might be honored, you might be glorified. I pray for Brother Raymond as he shares, Father. And I pray that as Brian takes up this charge here this morning, that he might just take it and be able to allow you to work through him to bring much fruit for your honor and glory. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing number 512 in your Christian hymnal. Song number 512.
In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered. Set I long for rest, then I found this. opened in my Savior's breast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in his smiles of love I live. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee. In the rifted rock I'll hide me, till the storms of life are past.
All secure
in this blessed refuge, heeding not. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee.
You may be seated.
Extend Christian greetings to each of you this afternoon. It's good to be together in this way, observing the work of God among his people. My message this afternoon is intended to be an encouragement to Brian's and the congregation in which they serve. My thoughts and Claire's might run a little bit in the same line, but that's fine. I'm in John chapter 12, if you want to turn there. There's a little motto that I picked up someplace, and I don't know who to give credit to. I'm not sure of its origin. It goes like this. God gets the glory, always gets the glory. Others get the credit, and we have the joy. If you can keep that straight in your mind, Brian and Londa, it'll help you often. God gets the credit. God gets the glory. For whatever's accomplished, God gets the glory. Others get the credit, and we have the joy. The message title this afternoon is entitled, The Joy of Servanthood. The Joy of Servanthood. The call of God on your lives this afternoon is a call to the ministry of servanthood. If you get to read the charge after you hear it, if I remember correctly, not much of it registered when I was given the charge, but tomorrow read the charge that you're given this afternoon, and you'll find out how much servanthood is in the charge. I think we ought to be inspired by the fact that the Lord's calling you. That ought to be an inspiration to us. There's something I think will be true many, many times in your life as you're going about your ministry. There'll be times that you'll say to yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I going here? Why? And the answer will need to be, because the Lord called me. That's the answer. And that's going to be the impetus, the inspiration. And let me give you a little earthly illustration of what I mean. I have a cell phone, and the only reason I have a cell phone is so it's a service to me. Not for you, but for me. And so on my cell phone, I have a list of people's names. Some of them are business people, places we get parts, lots of pastors, and I can scroll down that list and hit the button, and it calls that that individual. On that list of people are my sons and daughters, Lamar Harnish and Larry Harnish and Leslie Harnish. They're people I work with. They're my bosses. And on the bottom of that list, there's one that says Mom. That's what we call the queen in our house at home. The children call her Mom, so I call her Mom. She's in the office. And there's one there, it's Mom. Some time ago, I was leaning against the pickup, talking to a man, and my phone rang, and I pulled it out of my pocket and looked at it, and I said, well, I'll have to take that one later. Put it back in my pocket. It wasn't long, it rang again, and I pulled out again, and it said, Mom. And I took that one. And then he said, why'd you take that one and not the first one? I said, well, because of the significance of the individual. That's why. See, I'm inspired by her cause. I'm inspired because of what she means to me in my life, of what it means for me to have the privilege to be her husband. I'm inspired. And so what I'm saying is the call of God in your life needs to be an inspiration for you to go on and answer his calls again and again and again. Now to our text, John chapter 12, verse 23. Probably should back up to verse 21, where Philip says to Jesus, sir, we would see Jesus. In verse 23, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Okay? And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. From this passage, I'd like to lift four reasons why we can be joyful servants. What is it that makes serving a joy? What is it that makes serving the Lord a joy? Why would I rather serve the Lord than be served? We live in a world that likes to be served, but our call today is to servanthood. I believe the first reason I see in this passage of why we can rejoice or find reason to be joyous in service is the example of our master. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man can demonstrate to you the highest level of servanthood. The hour has come that me, Jesus, Son of Man, can demonstrate, can show to you, can model you the highest level of servanthood. Verse 24, highest level of servanthood. This body must be put in the ground. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, this body must be put into the ground. This corn of wheat must die, must be buried, and must perish. And the coating on this wheat must decay before it can produce a multitude of grains like itself. It's a great law. Life through death. Life through death. Influence and service through self-sacrifice. It's a tremendous law of God. And it works very well. So the model of the master is an inspiration to us to follow his example. And hold your finger in John because we're coming back. But let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and start at verse 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to be minister, you know, to be a minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The highest level of servanthood is for one to give himself to the life or ministry of another. Jesus was the ransom. He died in my place. He died in our stead. He died for me, for you. And so the highest level of service is when you can give your life for another. And so Jesus is our example. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'd like to read 6 to 10. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And so there's an example of while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. An example of the highest level of servanthood. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 10. Let's go back a page or two. John chapter 10. We're looking at the example of Jesus as why we can experience and have joy in serving. The model that Jesus gives us. John chapter 10, verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Christ voluntarily gave his life. And that has to be a model for us. We will voluntarily, we will not give our life because we have to. That's when the ministry becomes a chore. We'll give our life because we want to. We've chosen to. Jesus did, and he's our model. And so he said, I lay my life down. I can take it. I can lay it down. And I laid it down because that was my choice. I voluntarily surrendered as a master servant to those that were needy, very needy, while we were yet without strength and while we were yet without Christ. He died for us. Matthew 26 is the expression that Jesus made that gives us a picture of his example. Matthew 26. Verse 38. 26:30. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, have it your way." And you're going to need to say often, Brian and Alonda, you can have it your way. They can have it their way. And it calls for a servant sacrifice to serve and to carry out the responsibilities that God will call you into and will enable you to participate in. Hebrews 12, without turning there, is a very familiar passage. Is, "Oh, for the joy that was set before me," Jesus said. "The joy that was set before me, enduring the cross, despising the shame, but gazing into his Father's face." And that was the impetus, the stimulus that joy, Jesus served for the joy that was set before him. He looked beyond the cross, beyond the crucifixion, beyond the smiting in the face and the mockery and the crucifixion that took place, into the eyes of his Father, and was inspired to see it through to the end. Philippians 2, 1-11, you know that passage well, where it gives us the account of the Creator emptying himself and making himself no reputation and born of one he created. Born of one he created. And because of his obedience, even unto death, became our supreme example of service. While Jesus was here, we could look at many examples of how he served. John 13, 1-17, washed the disciples' feet, took up the tile, the basin, and washed the created's feet as a master. And as Jesus journeyed to the cross, you'll remember that Pilate had Jesus scourged, and a crown of thorn was put on his head, and a purple robe, and smote him on the head, and plucked his beard, and crucified him between two bad men, gave him vinegar to drink. When it was all done, said and done, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do." Servanthood. What example of servanthood our Master is to us. Secondly, second reason I think we experience joy in serving is because of the love for the Father, for being inspired by his example, we can experience self-denial. Back to our text, John chapter 12, verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Experience of self-denial. Harnish paraphrase. Jesus said, "You cannot serve me unless you go to the dirt like I did." Jesus said, "The hour has come that this grain of wheat must be put in the ground and die, so that it can bring forth more of itself." He that holdeth unto his life in this life will lose it. That's what the Bible says. He that giveth up his life, hateth it, the Bible says, giveth it up, let it go in this life, will find it or hold it eternally. We're still back, go back to verse 24. You need to put your corn of wheat in the dirt and let it perish, let it decay, to bring forth new fruit. For Jesus, this meant a cross. For us, for you, it means an altar. Altar of surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. There will be calls on your life. There will be things needed, service provided, time taken, and you could go on and on and on, that could make you wring your hands and pull your hair out and be weary unless you can find joy in serving. And then you can do as our Master has done. For Jesus, it was a cross. For us, it's an altar. We ought to go to Romans 6 and look at a couple of verses in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 16 is a verse that often comes to my mind. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, either whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whether of self unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Notice verse 22. But now being made free from sin, ye become servants of God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. See, if you give up your life now, you can save it for eternity, eternally. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25. There went out a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, let him hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters, yea, his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so it's a surrender to the lordship of Jesus that makes us a joyful servant. Romans chapter 12, a very familiar passage yet on this idea of sacrifice. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. A sacrifice, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, not a dead one. A living sacrifice. And then when we have that living sacrifice given, we can find joy in serving one like our Savior. The third reason that we can find joy in serving is found in verse 26. I'm back in our text. Verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be, and if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Think of the broadening and enlarging effect in life that comes from serving others because of Christ. Just imagine. You serve me, let him follow me, stay with me, our text says, because where I am is where my servant will be. We'll be like this. Where I am is where my servant will be. Where the servant is where I will be. That's an encouraging word. God will never take you anywhere he won't go with you. He'll never call you to do anything he won't enable you to do. I'm going to come back to that idea. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is such a familiar passage, but I think it speaks well to our interest this afternoon of sacrifice, serving. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like just to pick out three verses. verse 14. 5:14. For the love of Christ compels me, constraineth me, us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constrains us. One of the things that you might want to think about often is when I'm called to serve, to give, the question will come to your mind, what would Jesus do in this incident, this hour, this day, this night, this set of circumstances? What would Jesus do? The love of Jesus constrains us, compels us to serve. Verse 15, notice, he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We don't live unto ourselves. We live unto him that died for us and rose again. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him, himself, by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry to do the same for others. Ministry of reconciliation. As Christ died for us to reconcile me to him, so I should give myself to the ministry of reconciliation of them to Christ. That's a powerful idea and a full agenda. Now, can you imagine just a little bit what your character would have looked like if you were, our text says that where Jesus is, the servant is. Where the servant is, Jesus is, okay? Can you imagine what your life would have looked like if you would have had the opportunity, I'm talking about broadening and enlarging our influence because of being with Christ. What would have been like to be with Jesus feeding the 5,000? I try to imagine sometimes what it would be like to be going around among those people, passing out food, and every time I put my hand back in the basket, it was the same fullness that it was before. Come on. And so I don't know how long it took to feed the 5,000, but they were passing out this food, and we get all finished. They had more than they had when they started. Now, I would have had to sit on a stump a while and think about that. The enlarging effect of serving with Jesus. What would it have been like to be with Jesus when he met the woman at the well? And a little dialogue between the woman and Jesus. And to watch that all transpire. And Jesus' compassion for this woman. And his expression of love to her. What would it have been like to watch him cast the demons out of and into the swine? That would have been fascinating to watch that happen. What would have been like to come to Lazarus' house and they say, he's dead, he's gone. Jesus said, no. Lazarus, come forth. Watch him sit up. The enlarging and broadening experience. Or be with Jesus when he told the story of the man on the way to Jericho. Or the anointing services that Jesus had when the anointee declared they were healed. I'm healed. Or when, let's come away from incidents that we know of Jesus serving, to the time we delivered a casserole to the neighboring house of a mother who had a newborn. Or when we helped a neighbor pull thousands of suffocated hogs out of a barn because of electric failure. Service. We got that invitation because we're servants. Come and help. Bring your equipment. Not a nice opportunity to serve. When you're serving soup in a soup kitchen to homeless people, when you show interest in someone that is experiencing loneliness, and then I got a whole list of marks, just more, just keep adding. The broadening and enlarging effect on life because of serving. Matthew 25, very familiar passage, where it talks about giving a cup of water in the name of Jesus and going to visit them in prison. And at the end of that passage, the righteous say, when? When did we talk to him or her or go there or there? When? The righteous didn't know that they were serving because it was so normal. It was so frequent that they didn't recall. The register didn't have dates on it. It didn't have time or day or night. It was just what we do because we love to serve the Lord. Our last consideration is found in verse 26. Fourth reason why we can joy in servanthood. Our text says in verse 26, the last phrase, and if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. How does God honor his servants? I'd like to give you, and you're probably more creative than I am, but I'd like to give you just a few that I thought of. And there's got to be lots of them. How does the Father serve? How does the Father honor his servant? Number one, Psalmist in 139:17 says that God's thoughts are towards us more than the sparrows. What's it do for you to think about the fact that God's thoughts are towards me? That God keeps a record of the hair that falls off my head. That used to be pretty fast, but it slowed up considerably. But God keeps a record. God knows the sparrows that fall. Oh, ye of little faith, you're much more valuable than a sparrow. And so I'm going about my work, and I'm serving here and serving there, and the nights get late, and the days get long, but God's paying attention. God works out his providential care, his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all the creation and all the actions that go on in life and watching over that experience. God's grace that Claire talked about, that's available to me, God's grace. God honors me with his grace. Psalms 46:1 says, God is an ever-present help. God stays near. God stays near. Is that comforting? God is not late. He's not unaware. He stays near. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. There will be lots of times, Brian, that you go to serve in a task, and as you go, it won't feel like you have enough of energy. And when you come home, it'll feel like you didn't have enough of wisdom. If you never experience that, let me know. What could have I said yet? What could have we done more? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God honoreth me because he says there's no temptation that will overtake me, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He watches carefully the temptations that come my way and provides all the help that one needs to be an overcomer. He continues to forgive me. He honors me. Matthew 7:9 says, ask and ye shall be given. And ultimately, our final honor is when we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. Enter into the joys of thy Lord because we've served faithfully. So to the Shenandoah congregation and to Brian and Alonda, my words of encouragement to you are find this call in your life. Let me say this first. I think it would be I never had a job that I didn't like. Oh, no, wait a minute. There were parts of jobs I didn't like. Somebody said it like this, every farm has a barnyard, but the whole farm isn't a barnyard. I think it would be a chore to have to go do something that you do not enjoy. So learn to love to serve. Learn to love to preach. Learn to love to pay attention to people. You can practice the disciplines that are necessary in your sphere of ministry. Continue on from here and decide now that you're going to be a joyful, happy, industrious servant. One of the things that you ought to want to do, Brian, is to, you know, about 42 years from now, you will have served as long as I have served. You say, oh, no, that's a long time. It just goes so fast. But I don't know what I'd have rather done in those 42 years. I don't know what I'd have rather worked at. I made a choice. And grow older, happy, full of energy and joy to serve the Lord faithfully. He deserves our faithful servanthood. May God bless you.
Psalm 48, verse 1 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And I feel like my heart is full of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord today. Number one, to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Number two, to see the ongoing work of the church, which Jesus promised, and to be laboring together and to be at this point to ordain another pastor for the church at Shenandoah is a blessing. Looking back over the last several years, I was blessed each time when God called someone to help with the work in Shenandoah and Brian and Londa. That was a blessing when you answered the call to serve in Shenandoah. And I've just appreciated all the spiritual gifts, all the men, how God put together a team, a unified team to work together. I am thankful for that. And thinking back over the last 6 years, many times we served together, and I thought of one evening, Brian, when we sat on our porch together, you and I, and we were, I don't remember the occasion, but we were sitting there, and we looked out in the street, and there comes Jesus walking along the street. You remember that night? And we're sitting there, and here comes Jesus walking on Chestnut Street. He was the man that we heard about walking around in the community as Jesus. And we often wanted to meet this man, and here he came. And we're sitting there looking to each other and wondering if he's going to stop, and Jesus walked right on by. And we're talking, and we wanted to talk to Jesus. This man that looked like Jesus, he had a long robe and sandals and long hair and a beard. And so we go racing after Jesus, and we stopped him and said, I don't remember how we started to talk to Jesus, this man, and discovered that he had committed to a life of poverty, felt called to, he never owned a home, and had a little discussion with him, and he went on his way, and we went back to our porch just wondering, is this really the life of Jesus? Should we really be living like this? And, you know, is that really what it's like to live for Jesus, a life of poverty? And, you know, Brian, I want to say this, that I didn't see those things in your life, a life of poverty or committing to a life of poverty or a long robe or a long hair, beard or those kinds of things, but I did see some things that did display the life of Jesus in both of your lives. And number one, I saw humility, servanthood, as we heard today. Such a blessing just to have a work to do and just willing servants is just such a blessing. And I want to just bless your lives as you take up this responsibility. I'm looking forward to many more years sitting on our porch, whatever God brings our way, wrestling through difficult situations, serving the Lord together has been a blessing. So God bless you.
Brian and Alana, you can come to the center to do your vows. Brother Brian, the Lord has called you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to accept this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister of the word in His church? Do you promise to give heed to all the doctrines of the word of God, to accept them as a rule and guide for your life, to preach and teach them together with the teachings and forms of worship of the Mennonite Church, and to abide in them with unchanging fidelity unto the end?
I am.
Are you willing to conduct the church or congregation of which you shall have charge in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, and in all things show yourself an approved workman in the vineyard of the Lord?
I am.
Sister Londa, the work of the minister of the gospel may be greatly helped or hindered by the attitude and support of the wife. In order that you may share in the dedication to your husband's calling, will you please answer these questions? Do you concur with your husband in his sense of call to this ministry? And do you likewise dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to this service as a call from the Lord?
I do.
Are you willing to make the necessary sacrifices of your own time and convenience for the work of the Lord?
I am.
Are you ready to be a true partner and helper with your husband in the promotion of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ?
I am.
Okay, you can kneel for the charge. Brian, upon this confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses, I herewith, in the name of Jesus Christ and His church, charge and ordain you as a minister. Go and preach the gospel in its purity, warn the sinner, admonish the unconverted to repent, teach, instruct, comfort, and encourage the believers. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Likewise, give heed also unto yourself. Walk circumspectly, Read the Word, meditate upon its precious precepts, pray without ceasing, and in all things seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. Amen. This time I'm going to ask the Keystone Bishops to come forward for the consecration prayer, and Brother Jared Weaver is going to lead out in that. Brother Dale Weaver, if you'd join us as well. The congregation can stand.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege of being together here as fellow believers. Thank you for the privilege it is to be your servants. And as you have called a servant, Brian and Lana, to the work of the ministry there at Shenandoah, just pray you bless them in a special way. We consecrate them to your service here today. As we dedicate them to you, I pray that you would grant them the strength they need to fulfill the task you have laid before them. Pray you would grant Brian the strength he needs to be a leader. Pray that he and Dale would work together well and be a team that would be able to further your kingdom there in the congregation at Shenandoah. Pray that you would give him a love for the Word, a love for studying the Word, a love for preaching, that he would have a love for the people that he serves. Pray that he would be able to be effective in reaching out to the community as well. Pray you bless Sister Lana as she stands beside him. Pray you bless their marriage and their family, and that she'd be an aid and a support to him, and that they together would be able to serve you faithfully. Pray also for the Shenandoah congregation, that they would accept him as called by you, and that they would heed the preaching of the Word as he brings your message, that they would see it as a message from you, and that they would accept him as a leader from you. I just pray that as a result of this service today and Brian's ordination, that your kingdom would be furthered in the Shenandoah Valley there, or city. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Congregation can be seated. Just stay standing. I'm going to ask the Keystone Bishops and also the Marystown Reading District to come, and as we greet them, and Michael lead in some singing.